like you. Baby girl, I because you treat me like shit.
Because you treat me like shit.
Holy cast, 8.
Yeah,
but 8. Right, it is 8.
Oh, I thought it was 9. Damn.
69, bitches.
Yeah, celebration.
Homie Cares Day, we're at Chris, the house of the parents of Chris the Wolf.
Yep, Casa de Wolf.
Casa de Wolf?
Casa de Wolf, yes, without a doubt.
The Wolf Den.
The Wolf
the
Den.
The Wolf Den.
And what I'd like to have explained to me is I never knew you even had a brother. And your brother's sitting in here, Mark.
That's
right?
Cold.
Mike.
See, you don't even know the guy's. That's terrible.
Well,
you know,
how would I know
it? That's the problem, man.
You wouldn't know it. You know, Mike's always
low key
in Boston, hanging out, meeting certain kinds of. Yeah, he's okay. Playing, you know.
Player, so player, on, player.
Anyway. Yeah, exactly right.
I'm cosmopolitan.
Man. It's the truth. You know?
I'm cosmopolitan.
Now we know who the good looking brother is, though,
finally. Oh, I got the looks and the brands. I don't know what he got.
It's like the movie Twins with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito.
That's right, exactly. Yeah, it's my twin brother.
That's a great one.
Which are having a sequel coming up, by the way. Eddie Murphy, third brother.
Oh, God.
Hand of God, it's coming out.
I don't believe you.
Eddie Murphy, third brother. You want to bet?
I don't want to bet.
I want that to be true.
It's true. Eddie Murphy, third brother.
Chris, why don't you recap the pregame meal that you prepared for us?
Tonight,
feast.
I prepared some old school Mamie's Kitchen cheesesteaks, which we haven't had in a couple years. I put some mushrooms, peppers, onions, and cheese, and then I made some grilled potatoes. We had chips and some, you know, some
and beer. We already killed the bottle of bourbon that Rick Dowsett brought. Is it Dowsett or Deuce-it?
Dowsett.
W.L. Weller, special reserve, the original weeded bourbon.
Yeah.
This is good stuff.
Killed it.
Special reserve, my good friend, H.L. Wells, Weller's.
Now, you know, since we just talked about the pre-game meal, I got to say, I want your honest opinion. How good were those cheesesteaks?
They were the best. So you would win awards.
For 1 to 10, 10.
Yes.
Thank 10
you.
Plus.
Thank you.
It pains suck. Me to compliment my brother, but they were really good.
They were tremendous.
Thank you. I appreciate
the bun was really soft.
He took the time to butter it, to grill it, double cheesed
there's
it.
There's a lot of love. What were you doing on the you had the cast iron pan on the side burner. What was that?
First I did the onions and peppers.
Yeah.
And then I took them out, put the steak in, and then I had another cast iron in the grill itself, cooking steak. It was good. I love the cast iron.
Right. That's how you do it, son.
There's still another cheesesteak over
there. I don't think I said a single word during the entire meal. I just head in plate and just consumed.
You
that
were
thing.
Eating, just, drinking, and smoking.
And that's
that
it.
Was your
and
move.
That's it.
He had a cigarette in the cheesesteak. Unbelievable. Never seen anything quite like it. Kept the smoker the whole time.
We were by the pool, and how about that food umbrella he pulled out? That was like a professional stuff.
That little teepee tent right on top of the potatoes, make sure that the insects and whatnot.
I like that it's cockeyed. It's not actually doing anything.
That's the other thing. We didn't say it was airtight.
I may have to go rescue that last cheesesteak
before it gets too soggy. By the way, Rick, it's you know.
Lord. Speaking of food,
save it.
So I've been dying to. I've been pre-thinking about.
Thank you.
Football season. I did my first brisket about a month ago down the dock. Were you there for that?
I missed it. I saw the pictures. I was dying.
But I've been dying. So there was three things on my hit list of that I've been dying to smoke. I did my brisket. I'm dying to do ribs, and I got to do pulled pork. I got to do a pork butt. I'm doing ribs tomorrow. We prepped them today. Toby trimmed the St. Louis style, the big racks.
Yeah, the big racks.
Like Bronto. And so we got them. So here's my Craig is actually the resident pit master. So
that's probably debatable.
But I'm gonna tell you my strategy, and I want you to critique where I may be going right or wrong. All right. So we got two big racks, and I'm gonna get the smoker going, and I'm gonna try to get it going steady around 250.
Yeah, that'll work.
Okay. Toby trimmed them all, squared them up, pulled the membrane off, and he rubbed them down today. And they're in the fridge. They're gonna be basically 24 hours. They're going to be in the fridge.
That's a long time for a rub, actually.
That's what I thought.
It rubs usually an hour before, but
right. But
it'll probably be fine. You may have to re-rub it just so you get a better bark. You know.
I think you're right.
Because the meat, the fat and the meat and the salt, it's going to liquefy. It's going to break that stuff down. It's going to be pasty.
Wait a minute. I just spaced out. So you re-web what?
The ribs.
Oh, re-rub the meat.
Re-rub the meat?
You got to rub the meat a lot. A lot of rubbing of the meat.
Right, sorry, I spaced out.
He's
going to
do that regardless of what he's cooking. He's going to re-rub his meat.
A lot of meat rubbing.
He'll be rubbing the ribs.
So I'm going to go for... So I'm thinking 2 hours... But I'm not really going to go specific, but I'm not going by a timer. I'm going to look for the color that I want on the ribs. When I get the color that I want, I'm going to wrap them in the foil tightly so there's not a lot of, you know, it's not, not getting
I would go 3 hours.
You go 3 hours at 250?
I would use the 3-2-1 method to start.
Yeah?
Yeah. So 3 unwrapped, 2 wrapped, and 1 where you you can either take them out or you open the wrapper and let them continue to smoke open in their juices.
Yeah. How do you feel about mopping them before they're off, or do you like to keep your sauce on the side?
I never mop them. I always keep the sauce on the side, and I do like a apple cider, apple vinegar spray.
Yeah.
To just constantly wet them.
I got
throughout
it.
The process during the first 3 hours.
Yeah.
I don't wet mop them ever.
Okay.
I always do the sauce inside. But when you do a rib rub and you do a good rib rub, the idea is that you're doing a dry rub rib, and that you want to get some bark.
Yeah.
And you start saucing it up, you're going to get that St. Louis style that they kind of, you know, some people say that sauce just hides it because he didn't make a good rib. So, you know, that's kind of the, if you go to Texas and they see you saucing something up, they're like, oh, sorry, you suck at making ribs. That's what they'll say.
Don't
go to Texas when you finish.
All right, well, there you go. Well, thank you for the advice. I hope you stop down. They'll probably be coming off right around noontime. I'm going to start.
Where's it going to be? At the dock?
The dock, yeah.
Don't be afraid to attack an hour or two on. It's never going to hurt.
Just keep going. When they pull away from the bone, you know, like a half inch or so, I'm not going to, you know, that's going to be one of my tells. No?
Well, yeah.
They got to break apart?
If you pull a bone and the rib comes straight out, you've cooked it too long.
Too long, right.
Yeah, you really want to be able to eat it off the bone without it falling off the bone. Fall off the bone is some... That's what they call some homeowner backyard ribs.
So I saw a guy using a test where he just tried to pull them apart and they wouldn't pull all the way separately, but they
start to give. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, then you slice them.
Right? There you go. All right. Yeah. Well, that's what we're going with.
You want to eat them off the bone. You don't want to pick up the bone and the meat comes off.
It's
different.
I got you. So this is something I wanted to bring up. So speaking of Craig Kimbley, the pitmaster, people may not... Everybody's in on the text message things, right? Right?
Yeah. Yes, all day long.
The funniest thing is that no one would ever guess that Craig Kimbley, the music that he listens to, and his language in his text messages, that he's married to like one of the preeminent feminists in the whole town of Gloucester. Because it's so contradictory.
Because I'm straight out of Gloucester.
The yin and the yang, baby.
They are so in love. And right. Like, but when she talks about men and like, what a real man. And then I listen to what Craig is saying all the time. I'm saying, where is this disconnect? Or is she living? Or is like, is he living a lie?
This What's is what the bottom of the bus looks like.
He's free.
Looking up at the.
I've had this conversation with her. I said, do you know the music that he listens to? Right? Like,
I mean, I listen to everything, man. I mean,
you brought Action Bronson.
To Thelonious Monk, whatever you want, man. From Action Bronson.
In why you wanna act like a bitch when I'm with you?
It's a good song, man. It's like that song's preaching the truth, man.
Yeah.
You know, finally, somebody talked about it in his music. You know?
Except late at night at your house.
Yeah.
All I know is it's hard to work when those text messages are going off.
It really
just
is,
keep
man.
Pounding, and then like when Rick was telling me that Craig was crazy in the texts, I was just dying. Like the whole thing. You said that, Kimbley Loco.
No, he said Fuego. El Fuego. I was on fire,
Fuego.
Son.
Wrong one.
Not Kimbley and Loco. Kimbley and Fuego. He was burning you up, man.
It was just one after. It was just coming.
It was fantastic.
Badgering.
It was a tidal wave of burn.
here's a question. It really goes back to last week when Manny Simoes put the plans for the Action Shelter, the Action people that on the corner. What is that? Elm and Main? At Elm?
Shelter's further down.
No, but not the shelter. Like the Action building. Where the Cameron's building.
The
proposal for the Cameron's building.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So did you see the post that Manny put on that had the developer's plans?
Yeah.
That were shaded They were shaded for green and they were shaded orange as placeholders. Oh, he's texting. That's, we're gonna.
I'm checking because I don't know.
Turn it off, dude. Turn your phone off, dude.
It's affecting the podcast. We can hear it.
Seriously?
Yeah. Yes.
How'd that happen?
But so, if you saw, so basically, there was a lot of controversy because people were saw those pictures, and all it was to was to show what the size and the scope of the belly was.
That was it. That was the only reason.
There were people though writing in on the blog. I can't believe that they're going to put a building with no windows and no doors, and it's going to be orange and green. How hideous this is going to be!
Oh, this is awesome.
And did you guys, you never even saw it.
I saw the picture.
You knew that that was not what.
He was just saying this is what
the space
in this area.
Right.
That's all. It wasn't about
you
that
knew that
building.
Well, I spoke to. Did you? You know that?
Yeah. I saw the post.
You knew what it meant, right?
Yeah. It's a plan. It's not a artist rendition.
Well, you don't know how many people like were using that to say I don't want the. You know whether you followed that you want this project or not following this project. You know how many people said based on that is going to be the architectural design. I don't want it based on that.
Well, I think there's an opportunity here to go. You know what? We've heard the people. We've listened
and now
to the public outcry. There will not be a windowless orange and green building.
Right.
You have won. Thank you very much. We'd just like to use this as an opportunity to prove we're for the people by the people.
That's right. There you go.
And we are listening to the pulse beat.
We've listened to your concerns and addressed them.
Oh, my God.
We will put in windows.
But there were some people that I consider actually intelligent people that were saying these things. I'm like, damn.
Dude, when you... Yeah. The media, social media, people just the reaction.
Knee jerk. They don't even read stuff. They see a title.
Right, the ignorance that goes into it. I'm sorry. It's just like not getting the whole story, not understanding.
I had a Facebook post that it said fuck in it. And some lady that's not even a friend of mine came onto my page and posted a note saying, oh, there's a lot of the F-bombs in here. So I went over to her Facebook page and I wrote her a message saying, say the fuck off my page. I did. Say the fuck off my page.
Well, you know what?
That's aggressive.
But he's right.
You know, what is she doing on my page telling me how to be?
Right. He's right. He's 100% right.
That is aggressive.
That's his own personal page. If you don't like it, don't look at it.
She peed in your pool.
She peed in my Cheerios and shit, man. I'm like, hey, I just get the fuck off my page.
Sorry.
I'll come over there and fuck you up.
Ouch.
I peed in the pool. I wasn't even swimming. I just stood over there and took a leak. So.
Did you see the blue dye?
Yes.
Yeah. the pellets.
It's nice.
Okay, here's a question I want to ask you. We're going to go around with this question.
Okay.
What would you, if you had to be one or the other, you can't opt out, you have to be one or the other. Would you rather be a functional alcoholic,
or
addicted to addicted to cigarettes so badly that you had to go outside to smoke like three or four times, at least 4 or 5 times a day, even in the middle of winter or a rainstorm or whatever?
I go first.
Starting with James.
Well, I'm actually both. So.
James, this is
I don't know how to answer the question.
James, this is an intervention.
I believe in living life to the fullest.
I'm an alcoholic.
If I had to choose between the two,
then you had to pick one or the other.
If I had to pick one or the other, I probably would smoke outside.
Can I ask a question?
Wow.
Define functioning alcoholic.
Functional alcoholic.
Yeah, look in front of you. Beer, whiskey, and you're still here working. Look in front of you, baby.
I mean, functioning is a relative term here.
Yes, indeed. That's true. That's why I chose the cigarettes, because I figure, okay.
You feel like you actually need to get a drink to get through the day every day,
right.
But
holy shit, that's an alcoholic.
But that doesn't. But that doesn't shut you down from your job. You're responsible. You pay your bills.
I got you.
Go ahead.
I'm gonna go with the cigarette smoker because I feel like that has a positive side to it. Because I can tell my boss, listen, I need a break because I have to have this cigarette.
There you go, Mike. I like it.
I like that answer.
Barely socially acceptable, but still is.
People get away with it. You know, if I don't get that cigarette, I'm going to be off the wall. So give me that 15 minutes where I can go outside when I'm on the clock. And
that's what I tell my boss.
Yeah, yeah. That's what every smoker tells their boss. I'm on to you guys.
That's right, baby.
Rick, go ahead.
100% opposite of these guys. Functioning alcoholic.
All day.
Far more
pleasant. All day long.
Because just cigarette smoke, when it gets stale, it's in your clothes.
Oh, there's a bazillion reasons why I wouldn't do the smoke thing.
Yeah, taste buds are all fucked up. It's 100 times to 1, the other way.
Now, I guess I would say functioning alcoholic, because I guess apparently I may be a functioning alcoholic. I mean, wait, but here's my thing. If at 7 a.m. I'm playing softball and somebody gives me a Bud Light at 7 a.m. on a Sunday morning.
It doesn't make you a bad
person. Doesn't make you a bad guy. It's better than being a malfunctioning
alcoholic. It's better than being a
cigarette. Yeah.
But I agree with you. I don't, the smell and the smoke, screw that. I'll just have a beer.
I you know, I think if it comes right down to who's a smoker and who's not a smoker, go ahead.
Definitely, I'd rather much rather drink than smoke.
Oh, really? Okay, because you smoke, too. Yeah, well, you're one of these guys that has to go out there.
No, he only smokes my cigarettes,
I smoke with James. I'm like James, yeah, I'm trying my cigarettes.
He's that guy. You know,
I asked legal, Craig, do you have smokes tonight? He goes, no.
Why?
Why
would I ever buy cigarettes?
Why would I have cigarettes?
Yeah, absolutely drinking, you know.
I'm just going to say what Rick said to put me down. I don't have to rehash it. He said it perfectly as far as I'm concerned. So football season's here. We're on the cusp.
We're on the cusp.
All right. I just wanted to talk a little bit. We're not going to go. This is the question. And it's not whether Brady did it or didn't do it, whether he's going to get proven innocent
just
or not. No, it's not going to be that.
About it's already?
It's not going to be that. Here's the question. Do you think that all of this questioning of Brady's integrity and everything has only made, when Brady plays, going to reignite the fire in him that he's going to come out trying to make even bigger records because of the how much crap that he's got.
Motivation.
He's got.
He's going to use it.
Like, because I feel like when you win say the Red Sox, they win a couple of World Series, or the Patriots win a couple of, it's hard to duplicate that excitement in the fans. And the hunger.
It's very difficult to repeat in the NFL, first off. More than any other league, it's extremely difficult to repeat.
Right. So, okay, we're going to go around. Do you think that if you're an opposing defense, that you feel like that Brady's playing with extra fire? Yeah, you're
right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Why wouldn't he?
So this could this
He's end, got something to prove.
Could this end up being a net positive for the Patriots?
Yeah, why wouldn't he? He has something to prove now.
Mike?
I think we're all kind of biased because we're all New Englanders.
That was another part of the question, actually. Do you think... Oh, here's the other part. So this is a two-part question. The other part of the question is, do you think when we... Because everybody I talk to says, they're going to throw this out. Goodell's an idiot. This is stupid. You know, everything else. Everybody I talk to across the line from people from Boston area say that this is a slam dunk, that Brady's not even going to pay, not going
to
miss a single
Almost
game.
Almost everybody.
Do you think... Do you think
Almost
that...
Actually, I get to go again because based on the initial preseason game, I'm back to being a Steelers fan because I was a Steelers fan most of my life.
That's my boy.
And I think it's truth that
That's
Brady's going to come
about,
out like
people.
Fire this year.
But do you think that the rest of the country, now that they're hearing these stories about Goodell and how the way it's unraveling, do you think that a lot of people that were previously totally anti-patriot have been swayed a little bit?
No.
We're the Yankees.
Rick,
we're the Yankees of the NFL.
No matter what, they're going to believe what they want to believe because
they
hate us.
Think about this. Let me put it in this perspective. If Eli Manning was accused of deflating footballs, where would we be standing?
But he sucks.
What would our point of view be if Peyton Manning was accused of deflating footballs? What would
he's got two questions posed.
I think what I'd say is there's a big assumption that the rest of the country is hearing the stories that we're hearing.
That's a good point.
You know, Tom Brady and Deflategate is not a daily news story anywhere else in the country. So the last time they heard about this was 6 months ago, 5 months ago, whatever it was. And he's guilty because I remember it, he was guilty. We get it every day. We get the little teeny, Wells is out of his mind and this is going on, and Goodell's. We get it every day because we feed on it every day. It's not even making the news cycle anywhere else.
Yeah, it is.
That's
is
one
it
thought.
Or isn't it?
That's my idea.
Okay,
one
I don't
thought.
Watch SportsCenter, is it?
Going the other way, are the Patriots going to light it up on everyone else? What happened after Spygate? Randy Moss, they were throwing up 50 points on a regular basis.
Yeah.
With Moss,
going
Brady,
for it on fourth down,
and
up by 20.
Belichick just kind of went, "All right, you don't think I can do anything without spy, without cameras, without? Let's see what we can do. Here's a show for everybody." And I think that Brady and Belichick together with that same fire behind them, and the owner, Bob Kraft, going, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Crush people with 74 points up on the board if you want to.
Oh. Indianapolis,
they're going to light it up any chance they get.
Those games. Are they going to make every – are they going to just, like, take whoever was in that time slot and, like, push aside, son. The Patriots are playing Baltimore. Push aside, son. Patriots playing Indianapolis.
May or may not be successful at it because you're going to have other teams getting super pissed off about it.
That's the whole thing.
Starting to throw, you know, I'm going to say cheap shots, but playing more aggressively, playing more. There was an article on – the other day that the referee in the game with the, you know, they were doing the switch and against the Ravens.
Oh,
and
it
was
Ravens. Totally,
he went, yeah, I had no problem with that.
That was legal, though.
That was an absolute, it was brilliant. There was no problem with that play calling until the league started saying, oh, what's going on with that play calling? Yeah.
They shouldn't have done anything about it until the end of the season and then changed the rule.
Ah.
All right, so going back to your answers, let me stab at it since I'm not the only suck-ass Pat fan here.
Listen.
Craig Kimberly,
so,
suck it. I can say a lot about your quarterback.
Anyway, nobody's even caring.
All right, you don't want me to say a lot about your quarterback.
On topic, pay attention, cheesesteak, pay attention. All right, so will Brady come out the gun smoking hot? I know he intends to. The Pats have one of the easiest schedules on the
line. Here we go.
Their wins
are... I don't even want to hear it.
It's like a fucking book club. Shut up and drink your wine. So they have an easy schedule. They have an easy schedule to start with, which is in their favor. Now, I think Belichick threw a smack to the face of the NFL yesterday, threw Brady in there for two series. All of a sudden, everyone's like, yeah, Tom. Tom goes out there. He's 1-4 for two series. Sucks balls, basically. So, did he come out the gate looking like the man? No, he didn't. Now, I question, is this going to be a Tiger Woods effect on him to the point where he's so focused on the issue and thinking about, do I come out and smoke it hard, or do I just play football like I always do when and if I come back between game 1 and 4? That's the truth. So he didn't come out look smoking. He's not ready this season. The team, obviously, at 22-11 wasn't ready yesterday. Trust me, Belichick wanted nothing more than anything on this planet to win that game yesterday. Even though it's preseason.
No, he didn't give a crap.
I bet you.
He didn't give a crap.
It's Belichick. Trust me. He wanted to win that game.
They don't care.
So, deflate a football or beat a woman or
Chris, give me a break. No, you don't even know what you're talking about at this point.
Yeah, I do.
So,
you don't want to talk about it.
The rest of the public, you know, think that way. Now, Rick's right. For the majority, I've listened to on ESPN radio on my phone. I listen to other cities. ESPN broadcasts of their local guys. We don't really have one because we have so much radio that they can't get ratings here. So, listening to the other ones, instead of us being like, you know, 6 weeks straight, 6 months straight, both channels nonstop talking about it, they'll mention it once in a broadcast, and they kind of laugh it off, as they should, because the whole thing's a freaking joke at this point.
It is.
You know, it's the whole thing is the NFL's mistake and failure to allow this to happen, and to go about the things the way they did. So. Either way, I think the Pats are not going to come out 5-0. They're going to come out 2-3 or 2-2 like they did last year. Brady's back, they'll be right in it just where they were last year.
Is that your prediction based upon Garoppolo starting the first four?
No, Garoppolo's 20-30.
If Brady starts the first four games, are you still
2-2? I still think the same.
You still think the same?
Yeah. I don't think they're coming out the game.
You've got history on your side. Because, and I think I would take issue when you said that Belichick desperately wanted to win last night. Patriots never win in preseason.
Never.
Because if they win in preseason and win earlier in the season, they always start 2-2, 1-3.
Every year.
There was a tiny note in the back of him that really kind of would rather.
What I'm arguing is that Belichick doesn't mind dropping a few games at the end of the season or in preseason, because now he's got something to ride you for.
In reality, of course he doesn't.
I'm saying he's got something to ride you for during the season. So I think he goes, if I lose this game, I get more return on investment later in the season to go, you guys think you're good? Don't you remember getting your ass kicked in preseason?
Yeah. You're right. So he could use
I think that's
Yeah, historically,
we're gonna go around.
But wouldn't it have been beautiful to come out against Green Bay, one of the predicted teams to go to the Super Bowl? Granted, everybody's playing scraps.
Yeah.
It would still have been fun to beat them. And I think that that's ultimately what
we're going to go around right the table.
The fans would have liked it.
We're going to go around the table right now. We're going to take this Patriots end of the regular season, what their record is. Go ahead, James.
Now I have no idea.
There's 16 games total, James.
16 games.
Is Thank that, you. I think they're going to be 8-8. I don't know.
James. True Steelers fan. I would never have said
James,
that.
James, 8-8. Mike.
16-0. No, I have no comment. I have no idea.
You don't like football?
He's just saying he's not qualified.
I'm not qualified to make a statement on that.
Throw a number out anyway. Maybe you'll win the bottle of wine.
There you go.
What bottle of wine? There's a bottle of wine. I changed my
vote. Bottle of beer should probably be on this.
11-5.
11-5.
Yeah.
12-4.
12-4 for Rick.
Reacting, I missed the original question.
What is the Patriots' regular season record going to be at the end of the season?
11-5.
I'm gonna have to go 12-4.
All right.
Be funny if I won.
What's yours?
That.
What's yours?
You know, I would have said something.
What's yours?
I
think, come on,
we have some problem with
what's
our yours? Defense. Secondary.
Yeah, I'm gonna what's say. Yours? I'm gonna say. Well, I would say 11-5 too. But yeah, I'm gonna go 11-5 as well.
I'm hearing what you want, but not that, what you think.
No. But you know, you like one of the things you just, you know, everything you were just talking about. But then I agreed at the end when you said the NFL screwed this up without a doubt.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Do I think Brady had a part in it? Yes, I do. But that's not the argument. But the NFL is a joke right now.
All right. Yeah. At the end of this, if the judge completely undresses Goodell, does Goodell lose his job? Is Goodell the commissioner the start of next, not this season, next
absolutely.
Season?
He shouldn't be. Yeah.
Absolutely.
But he will be.
Absolutely.
He is.
He has made the owners so much money.
That's
and Kraft has helped him make the other owners so much money.
You're coming for 132nd of the league's opinion. Well, the other 31 teams
but I'm
are like,
say,
I like
I'm
what
even
you're
saying,
doing.
The Patriots just go,
it's,
you go,
it's definitely,
he's
without,
good
without
for
a doubt.
Us.
Without a doubt.
Does he make it? Does the NFL make money despite whoever the commissioner is? I mean, why do you...
No, I mean...
Yes,
I think Goodell, if you think of Tagliabue, and then you compare him to Goodell and the big scope of things, I mean, he might have been better discipline-wise, but he didn't have to deal with the issues that we're dealing right now and the social media issues. Not trying to defend Goodell.
So, no, okay, so everybody here is saying that Goodell is going to be the commissioner next year.
He will be.
Yeah.
I think he will. I don't think he's doing...
I'll
I think,
answer for James,
like Rick
yes.
said, he's making
money. It's money, right? I mean, it's money.
I will say, if the judge completely undresses him, then he wouldn't be. But
but the whole thing is, Brady technically won the first day according to media reports. But what's the next thing? That was just saying the judge knows that the whole thing is ridiculous.
From any media that he won.
The judge knows it's ridiculous.
He knows that there's holes in both ends.
Right.
He knows they're both full of shit one way or another.
I say, let's get rid of him and see what Bud Selig is up to.
Basically,
it's a guy with some free time on his hands.
Yeah, there's something that happened,
they
can't prove it. The thing is, the NFL got in too deep because now
the bottom line is this. We've said it before. Everybody in the league does this. Deflates balls. Aaron Rodgers has come out and said it. Every different quarterback
has come
out and said
it. A lot of
now,
them
because we're the Patriots, yes, we're the Yankees of...
Success breeds jealousy.
Right.
Could you imagine for a second...
Come on.
That this entire fiasco went this long, and say it was the Green Bay Packers and they had won the Super Bowl.
It would have been dumb.
But think about what would you on the outside looking in at Green Bay for 6 months, talking about 6 months, wouldn't you be like, what on earth are those people
talking about
6 months?
I wouldn't have given a rat's ass.
Like, why is this an issue?
Because we're the Patriots. That's why.
Oh, because they're trying to tarnish. They're trying to say Tom Brady's not the best. Would you agree or not that Tom Brady's the best quarterback of all time?
He's pretty good.
Are you going to say he's not the best quarterback of all time based on this?
I'm definitely not saying he's the best quarterback of all time.
But he's one of the top three.
He's in the top three.
Yes, without a doubt.
You know.
Who's better than him?
I'd say if Joe Montana was coached by Bill Belichick,
you can't.
He would pull
it
anyway.
Different story.
But I think Belichick has crafted his coaching around Brady's ability and the team's ability.
Like, that's a question.
He's the greatest of our generation. You can put that out there right now. And if the guy wins another Super Bowl, then there's kind of no argument.
Well, he's a great argument.
You can't argue
with Belichick win a Super Bowl without Brady, or does Brady win one without Belichick?
Dude, they are literally like, fucking
peanut butter and jelly.
I mean, like, you can't separate them two.
You can't.
You know?
I thought you were gonna say they're literally
with blood, so Belichick. Yeah, literally
that's Belichick pinky in the brain like that.
But you can't. I mean, that's literally.
It's really. I mean, but I mean, it's,
that's like Jordan and Pippen. You can't take them away from each other.
Bledsoe's 8-9 as a quarter, or whatever he is with.
Well, Castle, would they win 12 games with Castle? So.
Yeah, that's the thing that so, kills that whole argument.
So, can Belichick win?
With Castle,
the truth, I think, one thing we know is that Belichick is the greatest coach of all time.
I think he is. Yeah.
And he could win with a 12th grader from high school as quarterback, because he'll get that kid to throw four passes and complete them.
He'll find a way to win. Yeah, you're right.
Brady is an amazing quarterback that can play on anyone's team, but... You put him on Jacksonville, he might struggle.
Yeah,
but you know what I'm saying? He just might struggle. And it won't be his fault.
I mean, but think about our wide receivers and our running game. Are you saying that that Brady, because of Belichick and changing the game plan, has been successful?
The game plan is that
good. I'd say yes.
The game plan is that good.
Yeah.
He spreads out defense.
That he was a six-round draft pick. Nobody saw anything. When you get a first-round draft pick to a team that nobody knows how to coach. And I think the beauty of him being sixth round was you better be hungry.
Yeah.
Better be real
and you got a guy who comes out first round, draft pick, prima donna.
Yeah.
He doesn't know how to work because all his life he's been the best. He's uncoachable. You got a guy who came out and he's sixth round. He's been nothing but coached, and you keep him hungry. And from all accounts that I've read or heard, that when Belichick lays into the team, there's one guy he goes after the hardest, and that's Tom Brady. And the rest of the team kind of goes, Jesus Christ, if he's busting his balls this hard.
Yeah.
I can't keep my mouth shut.
I can't get pissy if he comes after me.
You know?
Is this your first rodeo, Rick?
Glad you asked that, Joey. what an amazing segue that was.
La.
So it's come up in conversation with a couple of friends of myself that we, here in the East, this far from the Mississippi, as they say,
and you think they do rodeos in the Mississippi?
I don't know. In the Mississippi. But the colloquial phrase, this is not my first rodeo, just doesn't fit, particularly here on Cape Ann, here in Gloucester. So I think we need to have some discussion about it's not my first blank. I feel a little bit like Gene Rayburn from the Match Game 75, or 73. And just a little bit of trivia for everyone out there. Gene Rayburn, the great game show host with the skinny mic, and I'm pretty sure they were all drinking during that show. When he passed away, he died right here in Magnolia, Massachusetts.
What?
Wow.
Little bit of facts. Bitch.
Big sailor, man, loved to be out on the ocean. His daughter had a house in Magnolia. He was here in his retirement years, and he died here in our community.
Gee, well, that's something.
Loved that show.
So fill in the blank.
Fill in the blank. This isn't my first what? And we'll start with Greg.
This isn't my first. Ass bleaching party.
All right. Well, I'm going to stop you now for a sec. This is a phrase that we're hoping will catch on in place of this is not my first rodeo. Not how can you perversify?
Sure.
I just made up another new word. A new phrase and a new word. Not how you can sully the phrase, this is not my first rodeo. What colloquially,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yes.
What would it be? This is not my first.
Colloquialism.
This is not my first homebrew.
I got one.
Not my first
fiesta.
Homebrew.
Oh,
homebrew.
You stole mine.
Not my first fiesta?
Not my first fiesta.
Nice.
All right.
Chris just, I was all, I was sitting
that.
Back, I'm
totally
like, I got this. I was going to say,
not my first fiesta.
Not my first greasy pole. Go ahead.
I gotta let that one sit for a second. Not my first greasy pole. I'm gonna steal one of Rick's from earlier. Not my first three-way.
You got a different version of greasy pole.
I don't know what you're talking.
James made one up. Not my first three-way.
What?
So was this Gloucester specific or New York?
I think it's this area specific.
So I was going for universal.
Whatever you think.
All right. What about like
not east of the Mississippi?
Not my first Virgilio sandwich.
That works.
I think for me,
my first Modiga steak.
For me, it's one of the things that it's also something that seems simple, but actually has some complexity to it. You know, so if we were in Alaska, I might say, it's not my first seal hunt.
Okay.
All right.
And not for New England. Right. So if you're in Florida, it would be like, not my first wheelchair.
No.
Not my first
podcast. Just so you know, Chris does a lot of seal hunting.
Not my first podcast.
Not my first podcast.
It could be. So I think what I came in, what I had in mind was, it's not my first clam bake.
Love it.
You know? It seems simple. Not my first clam bake. You just sort of throw everything in the ground and it cooks on its own. But there's a lot of complexity to it. So you just go ahead, relax.
Not my first man.
Not my first clam bake.
Manscape, baby.
Not my first manscape. Whatever you want to.
Manscape.
That's what I thought I heard Craig say. I don't know what he's.
He thought. I said podcast.
I think the one that you originally came up with is the best one.
Not my first clam bake.
Yeah, clam bake's good. Right. I like clam bake. I think I
keep going back to that.
All right. So I think going forward, anyone who says it's not my first rodeo, henceforth,
should be.
If I may.
My first needs to get a dope slap.
GM, Good Morning Gloss, a dope slap.
I like the way you're thinking.
Yeah.
James had a topic, and it was what is your thing? Every man should teach his son, young man should.
Any boy from
an adult. Like, what lesson should every boy
get? Yeah, when I was a kid, if I didn't open a door, some strange guy would walk up to me and say, open the door for those people.
Was that down south?
Yeah, in New Jersey. I'm from Jersey.
From Jersey.
Yeah.
Oh, Jersey's like on the cusp of being down south, right?
No, it's not. It's New York, man.
No, it's like New York.
It's Jersey. It's not the south.
Yeah, somewhat.
Oh my God!
No, because Bruce Springsteen.
Did you ask if Jersey was the south?
Doesn't Bruce Springsteen have a lot of there's a lot of southern themes in his music and stuff?
Yeah, but that's not because he's from the south. He's from Jersey.
Right, but
I
don't think
Bruce Springsteen doesn't care.
I know it's not in the south.
Right,
like I think they have a lot of. Okay.
So I want to qualify the topic.
Right. Well, no. I mean, I can appreciate the perspective.
Fix
when we
this.
Were in New Jersey, anything you know, west of New Jersey was California.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't know there was stuff in between.
All right, so Mike, New Jersey's not the south.
Mike, you needed some clarification.
Okay, so we're talking about things that a man should teach his son, and then he said holding a door. Are we talking about acts of chivalry, or are we talking about life skills?
No, life
lessons.
Across the board.
Life lessons.
Across the board, anything. I mean,
lessons,
you know,
skills.
How to treat a woman.
Anything.
One of my favorite movies was a quote, Providence, and the father says to the son when he's going out on a date with a girl, he says, you have to remember something, son, when you're going on a date with a girl. You know, having sex is like eating Chinese food. It's not over until everybody's had their cookie. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't wait until my son was old enough for me to say those words to him. I would look at my watch and wait.
Four.
It's not having sex is like eating Chinese food.
Who remembers who remembers the line from A Bronx Tale when the kid's gonna pick up the girl for the date, and he says, "This is what you do. You go around, you lock the door." You go around, you open up her door, and if she doesn't unlock your door for you, you tell her to get out of that
car. That's it. So she's gone.
Get out. She's got no respect for you or something.
That's
like
right.
That.
She's oblivious.
Is the Bronx Tale in the top 20? Anyone?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right? Solid movie.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High, man. I mean, that's where I learned how to treat a lady right. You know,
Mike, so did you come up with anything, Mike?
I'm going to let Chris go first since we share a dad, so...
Oh, okay. No pressure.
What did dad teach us?
He's actually here, so...
He's here.
So he's right there. I don't know.
Oh, here you go. You're going to hear that.
He's literally changing the will as we continue.
You know what?
I took out because I couldn't...
I was mentioning it earlier. Like, I will always... And my kids are surprised. I always open the door for Alicia. Every time you go anywhere, I open the door. Not just her, but like anybody. Like, if... I'm the first, you know, guy, girl, whoever. It's just that's just.
I do that too.
Like, it's just.
So you were taught that, probably.
We were taught that.
The odds are you were taught. Nice job.
It's a different generation, though. Like I cook, I do all these other things, and that's just.
That's the whole point of the question, though. I mean, like, what are the things that we don't want to let go of?
My dad doesn't cook every night, so I'm not going to say, like, you know, that.
Yeah, but a guy should be able to cook a meal.
He should be able to cook a meal.
You just served us a nice meal.
What do you think a father should teach his son?
Grill.
I should teach Tyler that he's his own man and that he should treat women with respect. Hold the door open. If they want him to cook, he should cook. If they want him to do the laundry, he should do the laundry. Whatever.
All right. So what about from treating women? What about in general? What should a man teach his son besides how to treat a woman? Is there anything?
And the Chinese cookie thing.
I like the Chinese cookie.
The Chinese cookie thing.
I'm gonna go with
key.
The Chinese cookie.
That's
thing.
Key, man.
I haven't got to that point with Tyler with
this. Yeah, put that in the bank for later when he's older.
Exactly my point, Rick. That I haven't gotten to that point, Uncle Mike.
Yeah, he's only 10, so.
All right, Uncle Mike, you should. If you've gotten to that point.
Year.
Yeah, he's got a year or two, though. I mean, you have to start thinking about these lessons.
Yeah, I suppose.
As his uncle, what should you teach him?
What should I teach my...
Because he looks up to you very
much. I should teach my nephew how best to antagonize his father.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, that's a very topic-specific, but very good.
So he's going to teach the boy trash-talking, which we all know is a very valuable skill.
That's good.
That's for sure.
I think now I've got 1,000 answers now. Like at first, when the question pre-show we were talking, my first thought was courtesy flush. You know, not enough.
That's a good answer because that's very specific.
Not enough people teach their kids the courtesy flush.
What's the courtesy flush?
You don't know the courtesy flush?
You don't know the courtesy flush?
Your dad did a terrible job.
Rick, make this very short. Make this very short.
Let's not be judgmental.
You know what it is?
Of course I do.
Joe, when you go, you know, number two, and as soon as the double splash happens, hit the flush. Don't sit around. Don't read the newspaper. Don't take time
to
wipe.
Second. Even before you even benefit. Wipe, you flush out.
Absolutely.
I know.
That's right.
Therefore, well, also
the courtesy flush is for the rest of the people.
Oprah.
Whether it be in the house or the restroom, public restroom, you're like, I'm gonna get rid of this.
See, I think now
I
want to point this out. Rick, he doesn't have a flushable toilet where he's at 15 hours a day. So
what?
He's in an outhouse.
No, no, no.
So wait a second.
Somebody.
So I went
he's
to
in an outhouse.
See, this
every
is
day.
What I would be nervous about. Someone that he can flush a toilet.
At that
this,
point,
this is what I'd be nervous about. So I was at Market Basket the other day. That had to go bad. Number two, right? So I went into the public restroom. I've
been there.
Now, had I done this, right? I knew there was a guy waiting to get in there, right? He was tapping his toes. He's freaking out, right? And had I flushed, he would have probably loosened up a little bit.
Because
he thinks...
Yeah, but if he was ready right, he would have known that was a courtesy flush.
That was throw the wrong signal.
Right.
You're right.
You're 100% right. Oh, spill and bruise.
Joe, if he's any kind of man at all, he waits to hear for the handwriting.
Will you stop it?
Yeah.
Chris, aren't you glad I got 18?
Oh, God. Where did we start on this?
That's one. Two would be, I think we've all heard, and if we haven't, there's this kind of crash story. The old bull and the young bull are standing at the top of the hill.
Right.
You which know?
One? Which one?
And the young bull is all anxious. He says, let's run down the hill and have our way with one of them cows. And the old bull goes, let's walk down. Let's have our way with all of them. And it doesn't have to be necessarily that situation, but one that says, don't let youthful exuberance... Don't rush into things when maybe you should step back and pull and assess a little bit. And I think that is probably core to the lesson that you want to teach your son, you know, when you have one, is that, you know, take your time. Don't feel pressured by yourself or somebody else that you have to rush into things you're not ready for. And furthermore, that's one thing you should learn. The second thing, and grit and how to rally. That grit being when you're tired of working, you're able to go, God damn it, I got to work a little bit harder. And you summon up some strength and you work a little bit harder. Because those employees, from my perspective, are invaluable and indispensable. And the employees that need a kick in the ass are a dime a dozen.
Yeah.
And the ability to rally, if you're out all night long, but you told your friend you're going to go help move furniture at 7 in the morning, you damn well better be there at 7 in the morning because it's a matter of integrity.
7:15 is okay.
You rally yourself to go do it because you made that commitment. And that type of thing, even if it's only that's only most important to yourself, that's knowing that you can rally allows you to crow at night.
Yeah. There's not many young kids that have that grit.
They don't.
He mentioned stuff that's gone.
Big lack of grit.
Kid, boys are soft.
Young guys are soft right now.
Craig.
I would say to my son, I would probably say the same exact shit to son or daughter. Really would absolutely not separate. If it started separating, we'd be getting into very extreme details that come a long way later. But I would say, first, learn how to fix your own shit. No matter what it is.
Yes.
Whether it's anything around your house, your car, anything. Learn how to fix whatever you can your damn self. You know, learn how to fix
I'm
shit.
I'm guilty of being the
I would say,
terrible.
And then I would say, definitely, definitely treat everyone with respect, including your peers, with respect. Don't be afraid to speak your mind, no matter what. And save your money as much as you can.
There you go.
I was going to say that you should teach your kids.
Oh, I have another one that I taught my son.
My answer was a lot more simple.
Trash talk your dad?
No, I was going to say a man should teach his son how to ride a bike.
Oh, I would definitely tell my kids.
That's a very specific lesson. Not right, that's very important. Metaphysical.
I would definitely tell my kids that anytime you think it's bad, always remember that somebody else has it worse.
There you go.
You probably didn't hear that because of fucking Groucho over here in the trash can.
It wouldn't come out. What do you want?
That's what she said.
Hey, now. Hey. Mine is very simple, and like Craig said, boy or girl, I think the number one, it's cliche, but I think the number one rule for me to teach my children is the golden rule. Treat others the way you would like to be treated. And
always travel with bug spray.
I tell them all the time, I tell them, friendliness. Just like, you're going to get way further in life being friendly than trying to be a hard ass or be a jerk.
Or an opinionated idiot.
You know what I mean? Like, I tell them all the time, like at the house, right? Like, you can act like a jerk, but we're going to have a whole lot more fun if we're just giggling and laughing and joking around. If you want to be a jerk,
you're going to be the one that's left out.
Yeah.
You're right. I agree with that.
Yeah, look at Donald Trump.
Yeah. When you're an asshole, all you meet are assholes. Right?
Yeah.
There you go, man. It's very...
Don't be an asshole.
It's amazing how many people live their lives in a curmudgeonly state.
It does blow me away.
How do you get to that point where you just, root against people... laugh at other people's misfortune and when someone gets they total a car or they lose a lot of money in some kind of bad deal or something, that you rejoice for that. I can never understand those kind of people. I root for everyone. Even people I don't like. It's very rare that I wish bad things for people or are happy when someone gets bad thing, bad things happen to them.
But you know what?
Even my not favorite people.
Let me ask you this, right, and I agree with you. But then when you come across a person that does give you that feeling, what's that say about that person though? Like if you get a person that you're like, man, I mean, and I'm the same way you are. I'm a lot like that. I just want to bygones be bygones, whether I like you or not.
Don't have the energy.
I don't have the energy.
Don't have the energy for
that
negativity.
To have that type of negative energy ruin my day, you know what I mean? And it's tough because then there are sometimes you're like, there are people, at least in my life, that have done that. And I'm like, you know what? I get along with everybody. I'm forgiving. I'm like you. But then you see that. But
the problem is that there's certain situations where... by relation or by association, you cannot escape other people's negativities or other people's things.
You're
forced into situations where two other people aren't getting along and they're pulling you into that.
Yeah.
And because you have to be part of that situation.
It's very hard.
Rick, go ahead.
I think part of it is that we have no idea what other people are carrying around.
Right.
You know, the analogy that I use at camp is think of because we do archery, think about the bowstring being pulled back. That when life is hard and you're stressed and you're on edge, the string is pulled all the way back to its maximum. And you got nowhere to go but to let go, and then all of a sudden there's the result of the arrow firing. And that the goal in life is try to decompress a little bit and have that ease back on the bowstring piece by piece so it's there. But I think everybody believes whatever problems they have are the biggest problems, and they are, because they're carrying them around.
Yeah.
You know, you got a guy with a pebble in his shoe. Oh my God, this pebble, it's been in there for weeks. You have no idea. You know, and then you see somebody in a wheelchair and says, oh, you lucky bastard, you don't have a pebble in your shoe. You know? Yeah. Oh, you're paraplegic. You are so lucky because you have no idea what this pebble is causing me. Without even thinking, what are you saying? Because this is what I have to live with.
Yeah.
And we all have somewhere between 60 and 90% of the most we can possibly live with. But because a lot of us have been forced, and I'm not including myself in this, a lot of people have been forced to live with much more pain and suffering. They're still in their 60 to 90% of what they can handle, but it's 20 times more than what I got.
Yeah.
But because all I know is what I've got, it seems like the biggest problem in the world. So I think that kind of disconnect of not the lack of empathy or the lack of understanding, and I think Craig, you had said, it was, no matter how bad you got it, there's a somebody whole lot of people who got it worse.
Don't you think that people adjust to their level of bullshit, though? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I know some people that, like, would go to the beach every day and complain, you know what I mean, and find ways to complain, but, oh, my God, what, you know, I can't believe how tough my day was.
How sandy the beach is.
You know what I mean? Right. Well, other people, you know, you got certain people that are working, like, you know, 20 hours a day to kill themselves to put food on their table for their children or, you know, do all these different levels. But, like, and that the person that's killing themselves can still, you know, manage to have a decent day. And the person that, like, doesn't work and is, like, their whole day is ruined because it was there's clouds at the beach.
Right.
When the guy that's working 20 hours a day, like, are you kidding me? I haven't been able to go to the beach in 10 years because I'm working so hard. You know, it's...
And I think it's a different...
levels
a different,
of bullshit.
It's a different level of measurement. Yeah. That it's the, you know, I think, if I may, what you're talking about is it's comparative of how is my life compared to everybody else's. And the guy who's working 20 hours a day, or the woman who's working 20 hours a day, goes, how's my life compared to what it used to be? And that that if you measure compared to everybody else, there's a lot of, what it was yesterday or what it was the ideal, there's a lot of negative in that. It was compared to what have I been through, how has it improved, or what am I, you know, what dip am I on right now? There's more positivity to that.
I would throw in two more things. You know, how to take care of your wait staff and bartenders when you grow up, and always carry a
thank
condom.
Thank you.
And always
I
carry
agree
a condom.
With you. Carry that's a good
always carry a condom.
Condom.
For the record, Greg, just Craig, put a condom
see,
in your wallet.
I'm not at that point right now.
That's like, a different
that's
episode.
Mike, that's an important
Mike, that, you're right.
Wearing see, around your I neck want, is a little more offensive.
I need to say something. I want you to teach your nephew that.
Bill Cosby.
That's a lot of weight on
but
my
But you
shoulders.
Have that kind of control over your nephew.
At what age?
I want you to teach your nephew to carry a condom.
You give
all
me
the time.
A date.
Because you're the uncle.
You give
at
me a
what
date.
Age?
I'll set him down.
Huh?
At what age should he have that conversation?
When he's 15.
12.
When he's 15.
Nowadays.
Well, I don't want to get too 12. Personal on this and get an Oprah call. Chris, how old's your daughter? And should her uncle teach her to carry a condom?
No, no he didn't teach her anything.
This is a father thing, not an uncle thing.
My wife teaches her, and my wife does a nice job.
Here we go, baby. Now we showed up.
She's not pregnant yet, so he's a success.
No,
as a
no,
father.
I'm just, you know.
Hey, I only asked him to look after my his nephew.
I understand.
His niece.
You're not allowed
take
to
care.
Talk to the niece.
No, that's...
His niece
you've been screened out.
I'm okay with that.
Imagine you trying to tell Talia that.
Oh
thank you.
I'd rather not
you that's the whole point of the. That's the whole point of the question. There's lots
it's
of stuff
job,
you can teach
son.
Both your kids, but there's some stuff there that like a guy should teach a boy.
Right.
Who yeah. told you? About and there's stuff. And there's stuff that a girl should teach a girl. Do you
James,
know what I mean? And there's stuff.
You,
I'm not going to talk.
Alicia?
To I'm not going to. I never. My. You know. My kids had menstrual cycles. I had no idea, man. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know about that stuff. I have nothing to say there. I have no educational value whatsoever in that situation.
Alicia and Talia talk.
Right, that's right. Menstrual stuff.
And I just stay out of it.
I think there's stuff that a guy should teach a boy.
Absolutely.
It's not necessarily
absolutely.
Father and son. I think, you know, a lot of stuff I learned was not from my father. Some of it was, but some of it was from other, you know,
kids how to skate
my buddy's dad or whatever, you know.
So you got a question you want to ask?
I was going to bring up a topic, but it's...
Okay, that's good.
Go, baby.
Wait, but you have two daughters. What are you going to do when they're old?
Oh.
I don't know.
I'm gonna need a cigarette for this one.
I'm gonna leave that up to them, Mom.
There you go.
It's just like you. I'm gonna leave it up to
right.
them.
Like that's
right. Have that, she'll have that.
Gender specific.
Mind you, if they asked you a question, you would be... Well, I would give my... If Talia came
pro.
To me and asked me, like, my... Like, and she wouldn't. But if she did... I would be like honest with it. I wouldn't.
Yeah. No, if a kid asked me a question like the, if
she's
any,
not gonna
I would
ask me.
Not even about that, about anything. I would give an honest answer.
Oh yeah, you would.
But
something. That's why my kids love you so much.
Because I feel like, I mean, let's make it a bigger issue about being honest with your kids. I feel like when you lie to your kids so selectively, then you tell them the truth about certain things.
Right.
Kids are smart. They know when they're being lied to.
Right, and you're the uncle. You have that ability to have that role. Yeah, they are.
No, kids.
Yeah,
are,
they
kids
are.
Know
Rick.
When they're.
My kids are. I don't know about what kids.
Okay, let's use a specific example. If I come to me and she said, "Is marijuana bad for you?" I would say, "I'm not going to say it's going to kill you the first time you smoke it," because she would know I was lying, and then she wouldn't believe what I had to say.
If you're
going to
tell her a stupid lie, of course she's going to know it's a lie.
No, but my kid.
No, I would tell her the truth. I would say
everything in moderation is what I would say.
Everything in moderation, including moderation, to quote Ben Franklin.
I would say, from my experience, it saps motivation.
That's an honest answer.
In my experience, it saps motivation. It never served me, you know.
And the pathways and the
and that's an honest answer.
And that's when you forget that you didn't bring a condom.
Nah.
So you need to remember.
Good point.
My point ultimately is kids are smarter than they give them credit for. When you lie to them, they start to not believe when you're telling them the truth.
But conversely, you don't have to tell your kid everything.
No, but that's me as a parent.
No, I understand.
Him as an uncle is different.
What I'm saying is you also don't have to tell your kids everything. I had this friend of mine years ago, many years ago, we're having the conversation. She goes, "Well, when my son is older, I want to tell him everything."
Right.
And I go,
That's different.
I said, "Do you want to tell him about the time with the hockey team when you were behind the bus?"
No,
and
that's
she goes,
different.
She goes, "What are you talking about?" I go, "Well, you don't want to tell him everything. He doesn't need to know everything."
Right. He doesn't.
What I'm saying
because
is,
that will be justification for you did some messed up stuff.
So I can do messed up.
Right. You turned out great. You're my hero because you're my parent. So I'm going to do some messed up stuff too.
No.
Yeah, when
and
I was
at some
raising,
point you gotta
when
go,
I was raising kids,
you know, I didn't touch alcohol till I was 20 years old.
But when I was, yeah, you're right, because when I was raising my kids, and they'd ask me about smoking, you know, other stuff besides cigarettes.
That was last week.
They never once, until they were adults, they never once heard me say yes, I smoked it. I didn't deny smoking it. I didn't say it was bad. And by the time they were 18, they were laughing at me when I would say I didn't smoke
it.
Let
me make a point. My parents grew up in the 70s.
Right.
Me and my brother have seen pictures of my parents. My mom with a long straight hair down to her ass. All right.
That's my kids the same thing. They see pictures of me.
Who are 72 and 68. We continue to ask them, "Did you smoke weed?" "No."
"No."
"I tried it." Yeah, right. You grew up in
right. My kids had the same thing. Yeah, right. But they never, out of my mouth, they saw pictures of me.
Yeah, but
they you know, they saw Dazed and Confused the movie. They knew that I was doing it. They never heard me say it.
What I'm saying is,
so pictures me with a blunt,
don't sit your
but
kid down and tell them everything you've ever done.
Possible deniability.
Right.
I'm saying if your kid comes to you with an honest, direct question,
right,
you give them a reasonably honest
answer.
I used to say
that's none of your business.
If Tyler came to me and said, "Dad, have you ever smoked weed?" What am I going to say?
What should
listen
you
to
say?
The podcast.
It's none of your business.
Chris,
the answer is none of your business. If I catch you smoking weed, it's your ass.
Yes.
That's the answer. It's none of your business. You don't lie to them. Because lying to a kid's not an appropriate thing to do either. But it's none of your freaking business. If I ever catch you doing it, it's your ass.
We lie to kids all the time. Kids can lie to all the time.
But you don't have to lie to them.
We buy them crap from Santa Claus. We give them Easter eggs from the Easter Bunny.
I didn't do Santa Claus.
We lie to kids every single day for their well-being.
It's funny because I was just thinking of that, Rick. It was something that none of us said. But it's really important that you instill in your kids to tell the damn truth all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you're lying to your kids all the time.
If you lie to me again, Santa Claus isn't going to bring you any presents.
Yeah, exactly.
See, that's the
talking
thing
about
with Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny.
It's different when your kid is 6, 7, 8 years old, but when your kid gets to be in high school and they start asking honest questions.
Like, is there really a Santa Claus?
If
what
I
do
drink
you say?
A beer, if I drink one beer, am I going to die of alcohol poisoning? Yes, you certainly are. No, of course not. That's an honest question. You give them an honest answer. If you drink 6 beers, that's bad. You shouldn't do that. But if you drink 1 or 2 beers at a party, you're
but
not
the honest
die.
Answer is alcohol.
Wait,
at your age,
you
drinking alcohol is illegal.
That's
and you
an honest
get in trouble,
answer. That's an honest answer.
I don't think a teenager is going to ask that. Like,
okay, well, that's a bizarre question. Yeah. But I'm saying, in general, if a teenager comes to you with a very specific, direct question, should you tell them an outright lie? I mean, assuming that your kid isn't an idiot, they're going to know that you're lying. And then when you tell them something like...
So they're going to lose respect for you.
Well, then you tell your daughter,
like, you this.
If you have sex, there's a chance you could get pregnant. That's true. That's an absolute truth. But is she going to believe you because you've been lying to her for so long?
Let me ask you this. Here's an interesting... I think I might have told this story before. But we've all grown up where our fathers, I believe, have let us have a sip of beer. Right? Like,
oh, yeah, when I was two.
Like, we've all grown up where dads have been, like, you know, given a sip.
One.
And I'm thinking about this as we're all talking about this. There was a time when Tyler was, like, three. I had a couple of buddies over the house, drank a couple of beers, and I woke up at 5 a.m. And there was a Corona like this on the table. I went to the bathroom.
It's so helpful on a podcast.
I went to bed. I woke up an hour later at 6. This beer was gone.
Whoa.
Tyler's three. I went running in his room.
High-fiving and all, weren't you?
Oh, my God. We used to have a choo-choo train table. It was one of those white tables on
Thomas
the side.
Thomas the Train.
With the green,
splayed out across
green,
it.
You know. I go, Tyler, he's three. He, or whatever he was, 2.5, three. I go running in the room. Tyler, I don't see him. I'm looking everywhere. I look under the choo-choo train table, and I see Tyler like this.
No.
With a Bud Light in his hand.
That's
so
amazing.
So did you take the Bud Light, give him a craft beer?
Yeah. Yeah,
like, son, no.
That's an important life lesson.
So now.
Here's an IPA. Save your life. Save your life, son.
So since then, I do not give him, like I did give him sips like my dad did to me and to you. I won't give him a sip of beer. Just because it was like, what are you doing?
I hate it, man. I don't know.
And so it's like, it's just on the lines. Like, it makes me think back on, like, everything we're talking about. How do you handle certain situations when your kids...
It's going to be interesting.
You take it as it comes.
Right.
Because you, really you don't know it what really the question is going to be, and you don't know the situation. And a lot of it also depends upon who
there's
your partner
no
is.
Well, I agree with Mike.
Your partners.
I think you should just tell the truth, but there's ways to tell the truth. And
there is
and
ways to tell the truth. You know,
I think it should be effectively the truth. But
well, that makes me
sometimes the truth is none of your damn business, or I'm not going to answer that question because you know that's not.
I agree.
That's not
I
an appropriate
well,
conversation
you guys,
for you and I
like,
to have.
Since
with each
we're bringing
other.
Up that aspect, right? We, as I grew up, I remember there were parents that let their kids drink in their house,
right?
As they were under their guidance.
Yeah, my folks did. Yeah.
And then
yeah,
you have people.
Cool parents.
I mean, it's a whole separate topic, but at the same time,
high school.
It brings up that thought of okay. Do I want my kid to drink under my roof where I'm there and I'm responsible, I'm watching.
And you're safe, and they're safe?
Or, right.
Yeah.
It's a when I was a kid
in the 70s, that happened a lot.
Yeah. But you
today, there's
that.
No way.
No,
you can
that,
do that,
that
with your
that's
kid.
That's where I'm coming from.
There's no way. You get arrested because you go
you
to jail.
You get arrested
right.
for letting
you
those
go
kids
to jail.
Legally,
go
you can
jail.
Do that with your kid. You can choose. You can let your kid drink. There's no. You can let your kid drink at a restaurant table. You can order a drink for your kid and go, it's part of our family.
Right,
religious,
right,
whatever.
Right.
But you don't have the right to decide that the neighbor, the other kid
right.
can drink.
Right,
right.
The other
right.
kid. And that'll be
letting
civil
family,
litigation
right.
to say, whatever happens under your roof is your responsibility.
The parties we
so
have.
So if there's a party at your house, kid goes out of your house and gets in an accident.
You're well, responsible.
You could be up in New Hampshire, your kid's having a party when you're not home, it's your responsibility because
yes,
it was
that.
Your house.
I know that. I had parties here plenty of times and that made me think of those
this is a
things.
Whole different this is a whole different generation though
it is it's
like,
a different
like
generation
my parents we used to I mean they would like host know we were all getting you know drunk and stuff like that you know senior in high school collecting whatever
right
and but I don't I'm not going to do that with my kids
no way because
yeah,
you can't do it
they're not
I'll
ready.
Tell you
they're
number
not.
Number one reason Liability.
Because
they are looking to make an example out of you. You know what I mean?
If a can, and there's a lot of people who are just waiting for an opportunity to sue you so they can take what's yours without having any real right to it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm done with that.
You're right.
Yeah, no question.
There. So we did that conversation.
Cannonball run. Let's go, Craig.
Cannonball, baby.
Craig's doing it. He's going in the pool.
Is that on?
That's up the street.
Wait, can I use,
this
can I use
up?
That cannonball run segue for the next topic?
Yeah, go ahead.
Wait, Craig.
Is it about
you
cannonball
need to
run?
Hear this.
Wait, Craig.
Wait. This brings up the next topic of why Joey's afraid of the pool.
I'm not. Why
Joey,
you
getting in
the pool?
Come on, baby.
Well, Alicia told me you were afraid of the pool.
James,
are we in the
she said something like that.
Oh,
you don't like pools.
You do yours.
That's not true.
No, we're moving the podcast to the pool.
Then why would you go in the pool?
It was like you know, 20 people here, and I just. I was a bunch of kids. I would rather sit around and have an adult beverage and have a conversation than go in the pool.
I am now recording. Go ahead.
Oh, Jesus.
Belly flop. Oh, belly flop. Jesus. Belly flop.
Oh, oh, wow. That was pretty good.
He went with a can opener.
That was good.
That was impressive.
Can opener.
That was impressive.
I could do one. I can't hear if I do one, but I'll do one.
Oh, Lord.
Anyway. He has to take his ears out, though. We can talk about him behind his back.
Yeah, you can. Oh, I can put my waterproof thing on. And
so, technology.
There's no light back here.
Oh, this is beautiful. Isn't it beautiful, Craig? Get in the tube, relax.
He looks like a lumberjack.
Hand him a beer.
He looks like a lumberjack.
And that's okay.
That's absolutely right.
He drinks all night and he works all day.
I like those swim trunks.
They're great.
Those are badass.
I'm sure the people listening right now are like, it's just like being there.
Oh, man. Homie.
Does anybody actually?
So, see, I finally came up with a topic.
So here's my topic. We'll do it while Craig's in the pool.
Okay.
So.
He's coming out quickly. Hurry up.
Am I good?
Yeah.
All right. So back in 1994, I ran into a young Molly Ringwald in Gloucester because she was in town filming Townies.
Okay.
She has nice lips.
And I don't know what that means. So I say, you know,
how old are you at this point?
94 is probably.
Well, in relation to her?
Same age. Same age.
Okay, go ahead.
Right?
Yeah.
And so this is what it would have been. What was I in 94? Like 26 maybe?
This is 7 or 8 years after the famous.
The big movies, yeah. She's in the TV show, ABC, Townies, about. This bar in Gloucester.
I remember that
and
show.
And the three waitresses. Jenna Elfman was one of them.
Show. That's right.
Maybe they're a little slutty. They like to drink. It was, you know, a lot of people were upset. And there was like, why would you be upset? It's pretty much true. And so I run into her in a coffee shop. And I go, Molly Ringwald. Breakfast Club and Pretty in Pink. 16 Candles. I have an idea. Years from now, we should, you know, we'll get together. 49 Candles. A sequel to 16, 49, maybe 50 candles.
52 candles.
And she says, that's great. Look me up then. We'll do it.
Whoa.
We are about that time now.
Wow.
So we got to look her up, man.
So I think it's time.
Jill,
I've worked this out. Time to go on a quest to meet Molly Ringwald.
She's so wants you to do that.
Here's the storyline. Michael Schuffling, who played Jake Ryan in the film, shortly after the film, gave up Hollywood, turned his back, moved to Pennsylvania Dutch country to hand make furniture ever since and disappear off the grid. Right?
So you gotta get him back out.
Of course. But the storyline of the movie, Jake Ryan is coming back for his 35th reunion. Hasn't been in town since he graduated high school and went off to Pennsylvania Dutch country to hand make furniture. Jake Ryan's coming back to school. Molly Ringwald's character is on the verge of turning 50. A lot of conflict. He's messed up by that. You got Long Duck Dong. You got Michael Anthony Hall. You got all the characters coming back, and now kind of this, how are they reacting to it? Now, not even if the film never gets made, we shoot a documentary of my quest to get Molly Ringwald, Michael Schuffling, Anthony Michael Hall, Long Duck Dong.
That is a good idea.
All the meetings, and go, I'm sure she'll want to meet me. I distinctly remember 21 years ago, she said, yeah.
I'm going to say this. If they made a remake with all the same players and no one got to see a preview, because it could be a complete bomb disaster, right? But if they said, we're not even going to pre-screen it, we're just going to release it on this one day, just like that, our generation, you would have to go see that movie. Oh, yeah. The first weekend, no matter how bad or good it was, would make enough money to cover whatever their salaries would be at this point. It would be bankable. No question.
Like Wet Hot American Summer, which we could talk about another time. They just did a...
Oh, my God. Kate loves that one.
Just came out on Netflix.
Yeah,
Netflix.
Kate,
you could do that.
Obsessed.
Or on Amazon or Google, that type of thing.
Are you a fan of that?
Fantastic.
That's great.
The Netflix series?
The Netflix series. The movie was ridiculous because they were all 15 years too old to play the parts they were playing. And now 15 years later, they're playing them again.
Yeah.
It's younger than they were. Stupid. It's crass. It's fantastic.
You have you seen the Netflix version?
Absolutely.
And you're a big fan?
Big fan.
All right. Kate is too.
cater
now,
to
now, piggyback to that, here's the other thought. Norm Macdonald, as I think we all know, does an incredible, incredibly horrible, incredibly good Burt Reynolds impersonation, right? We get Norm Macdonald to remake Cannonball Run, Stroker Ace, Smokey and the Bandit.
I want
that
Cannonball
is a
Run.
Hot idea.
I want Cannonball Run.
Right?
Cannonball I Run want Cannonball Run, and I want the Cannonball. I want the girls Cannonball. With the tight latex suits with the big boots.
Who plays
boots.
Who? I would like to offer.
Who's going
to
be Adrian Barbeau?
I would like to offer myself as Captain Chaos Dom DeLuise's role.
Yes, I will cast you in that.
JJ. Who's the blonde girl that little bit? She's got probably, she's about 10-15 pounds too heavy, but she's still one of the most pretty. Oh God!
Oh, that's just broad as it could be.
No.
Yes, it is.
No. Lonnie Anderson.
She was cover of swimsuit. Sports Illustrated swimsuit, and she got criticized for being...
Oh, because she was a bigger model, right?
Who was her name? About?
Was it Claudia Schiffer?
No, it's more recent. It's more recent. She's probably like 3 or 4 years ago.
Kate Hudson?
I don't know.
Kate Upton. Kate Upton should be one of the girl drivers.
Yeah. Boom. And here's my thought. You ready? The Jack Elam role, the doctor who's, has his own... taking the medicine out of the syringe. Drives the ambulance.
Yeah, right.
You get Burt Reynolds to play that role.
There you go.
Oh, cool.
Right? Because Burt's funny.
Cameron, yeah, he's funny.
He would love that.
I'm in.
Jesus, we got to start our own studio.
Right? It'd be fantastic.
Homie cast film.
Smokey and the Bandit. Homie film.
Homie films. Homie films. We have a few people who can do this.
Keg, what?
Who's going to play Gleason's role?
Speaking of...
I haven't seen Cannonball Run.
Speaking of making movies.
Smokey and the Bandit.
I haven't seen Smokey and the Bandit.
Have you picked up any new accounts worth noting recently? What are you shooting right now?
Well, I've been shooting on the TV shows I've been recently doing. And actually just got asked by someone to shoot some aerial boat stuff for a new pilot TV show that's going to be based around boating and boat safety. Ooh. So I don't know the whole details of it, but apparently this next week I'll be chasing a boat around with the drone, doing a little filming.
Have you done any work with Steele?
Yeah, I just recently finished Steele's about to launch a new campaign. It's called Blower Season, which I think is funny. Blower season, as they're calling it. I kind of wanted to call it like a blower boot camp, or some sort of like spring training,
Steel chainsaws, by the way.
Yeah, preseason, blower preseason is what I called it. So I just did this video that I actually just submitted today, and the gist of it is this guy sitting in his backyard. He sits down in his chair. You hear the chair squeak. He's drinking a nice tea. He's looking around, proud as shit. Everything looks perfect in his yard, and all of a sudden he looks up and a leaf cuts loose on a limb. He's like, da-da-da-da. He looks up, sees the leaf. The leaf breaks free, starts to fall. He leaps out of his chair, rips the cord, starts his leaf blower, hits the leaf before it hits the ground, and blows it off his property.
Into the neighbor's yard.
Yeah, into the neighbor's yard. Then he sits back down, sips his tea, camera pulls away, drone
love
shot.
It. Love it.
Beautiful. So that's going to launch this week, man.
And that's literally, why Craig Kimberly's the best in the business.
I mean, it was shot on Red. It was shot on drone. I had my boys.
How'd you get the leaf? How did you control the leaf? That's
the leaf
question.
Was a fiasco.
I thought it was going
to
be.
So I had to show up in Maryland, drove down to Maryland, and had a couple really good homies go down there with me, some recent good friends, truck full of gear, Red cameras. So the leaf, of course I got the idea right away because I do fishing shows. Well, let's get like some 2-pound test and I'll tie it to the leaf. And then we'll rig up a stand and rip a tree limb off and attach it to the stand and, lightly attach the string and just release it and hopefully it breaks free. Man, we spent hours trying to get this leaf to behave. And then the worst thing was, besides the drop, which is this guy looking up and you see the leaf and you're looking down at him, was once he pulls the trigger and grabs that blower, now I got to make a leaf dance. So it took me everything I could. I've got one leaf blower in my hand, electric one, and I've got a leaf on a string and I'm flying it like a kite. Then the guy with the gas leaf blower's standing there fighting, trying to act like he's fighting the leaf, and I'm, making the thing fly in front of it. All this, like, it took hours and hours and hours, and we got crushed. We had one afternoon to do it. And it turned out pretty cool, man. It turned out really cool. So that's
I'm late. Looking forward to seeing it.
And then I've got some, the next stuff coming out is how to properly drop a tree from midway up
and how to drop a tree, a dead tree, amongst like a bunch of other trees. So some professional arborist videos I got coming up next.
You
got
to put those on the blog.
Yeah, I'll put them up there. Once they're released, I'll put them up.
Right. Brad, just have a little vision. Maybe good, maybe not. Maybe the whiskey talking. Right?
Usually is at this point.
Talk to me.
Long shot, still, you know, picture of the chainsaw. Voiceover. Still the best.
Oh. There we go.
Cliche of all cliches. Still the
best. Yeah, I love that.
Stolen ideas, stolen being recorded as we speak.
Print media would work too. Still the best. Since 1922, or whatever it's been founded, still the best.
Still cut. I wanted to do one called Men of Steel.
Ooh.
I thought that'd be really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
But it only includes men, so that's not going to flow.
No.
Oh.
So yeah. How about a whole line of ladies' chainsaws?
Women of Steel.
Pink.
They're like definitely like not doing
that.
You can't do ads about chainsaws that don't include women?
Yeah.
That's where I'm going at. It gets chainsaws. Very difficult.
You can't say Men of Steel because the women would be like,
yeah, because
what the
women, so that campaign wouldn't flow. In Germany, boom, they take off with it.
No, and here, you'd have to counter it with Men of Steel and...
exactly.
Petticoat Junction.
Blowing season.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. Run it all back around to the original.
Yeah. Right? Oprah.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, Lord. Anyway.
Here we go.
Gloucestercast 8, my brothers.
That's it, baby.
This was unbelievable. I'm very, very happy. And
nice
thank
pool
you
party,
guys.
Chris,
thank you for hosting. The food was fantastic.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Did we do the introductions?
No.
James Eves.
Yeah, you did.
We didn't do the introduction.
Mike DeWolf. Rick Dowsett.
Chris DeWolf.
Craig Kimberly. Joey Shimitao. We out.
Bitches.
I pay for the bed and never even slept in it. I pay for that crib and never stepped foot in. And now somebody else is eating all the pudding. Things change, now my dashboard wooden. All black Benz like a young Doc Gooden. Dark shades cause I'm stone crazy. Girl, we grown, stop playing on my phone, baby. All your childish attempts to make me angry, fool.